Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
So, pretty cool week for Katy Perry, huh? I mean, really. I feel bad for her a little bit, but then I saw some interview footage, and I was like, no, girl. Nope. You are so tone deaf. This is unbelievable.
Wow. You write, and you've been publishing for a long time. Do you know when you put something out there, and you're just like, oh, like you wake up the next day, and you're like,
I do that all the time.
Yeah. And yes. I feel like... I do that, and it has some weight because you know a few people have looked at it, right? And then
if you were Katy Perry and you woke up today and you listened to "I Kissed a Girl," would you have had that same reaction?
Yeah, no, I would not. That girl, like, bye.
Regardless of space, yeah. Anyway, let's get into the huddle. I just thought that was kind of like a funny topical thing to bring up. What's top of mind for you this week?
Well, number one, I'm not Katy Perry. didn't do that.
You never will be.
I think you and I have talked about this. There's a lot of people talking about just where they are mentally right now. And on one hand, and we're going to talk about this, there's, you know, some like, ugh, feelings. On the other, I see the positive side of when this many people are feeling a certain way, there's some serious solidarity going on. And that's usually when some good happens, right? It's not going to be now, but something's going to come from this and it won't all be bad. So I just like being in that having the solidarity that's going on. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like part of, I mean, I guess we could get into the review, but with that. But for me, I think this is also super top of mind for me. I think the thing that I was going to talk about is like not as meaningful. To me, it is like you're making a really good point about solidarity. And that's kind of why I wrote what I wrote this week, right? Because I know that I'm not alone in it. And this is all, like, I think I can't not say this publicly. Like, this all comes back to you and the piece that you wrote a week ago, Eject Disc, I think has really just taken off. And I think you've struck a nerve. Think we're going to continue to do that because where I'm seeing it, even in one-on-one conversations that I'm having with folks, like I talked with Carl Smith yesterday or the day before, and we talked a lot about this same stuff. Like I was just sharing with him a lot of what I'm feeling and going through and what I'm hearing from other people. And he's hearing the same thing and feeling the same thing. So right after that, he then goes and posts something about those themes that we talked about on LinkedIn. And people are saying the same stuff. Like we're all feeling burnt out by what's happening right now, whether we feel like we're in control or not. So that's top of mind for me. You know, it's like, but it's also like getting through and continuing to do the work while feeling this way. Like that's really what I'm kind of focused on.
Yeah. Well, let's get into that and move into the review. So we do have two Team Angle articles to mention,
right?
And they're about psychological safety, excuse me, which it sounds like a weird word to even talk about. You know, it sounds like a nice to have, but it's not. And you actually need that not only to do what our article suggests, which is fuel creative and or creativity and problem solving. And to get to innovation, but even to just have these kinds of conversations, which we're about to have. So check them out. Two Team Angle topics on psychological safety. And then we move into your column on what if it's not work that's burning us out. So why don't you, like, what did you write about? Where'd it come from? And we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I think... I'll be honest, like I think that this is a topic that's been sitting pretty heavily with me for some time. And I think you kind of inspired me to talk about it in a couple of different ways. Like I'm blogging about it on my site, but also writing about it here on Same Team. And I think, you know, connected to what I just said earlier, like I know that I'm not alone, you know. So this article, it's not just another article about burnout. I think it's more of a call to stop blaming productivity tools or return to office or even remote work setups for what's, I think, a broader emotional and more existential weight that a lot of us are carrying, if not all of us. I mean, I don't know. I can't say all, right? But I've been, I just wrote it because I've been feeling it, because my friends, my colleagues, my previous clients, and people I even barely know are saying the same thing. And it's, I'm tired. I'm just tired. And it's not, you know, it's not that I can't sleep or I didn't sleep well tired. It's that I'm holding so much for so long and pretending that things are fine and trying to work through it. It's that kind of tired. So in this piece, I'm basically like kind of naming it, exploring it, and hopefully connecting with other people, so that they feel a little bit more seen as well. Cause I think that's what your first piece did for me. So to me, this is like, if you're still showing up despite everything that's going on, this one is for you.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Like we've talked about burnout and resilience and leadership in these times, but I feel like it's even more raw right now. So let's have this conversation, just starting with like, what's the line between being resilient and then being in denial?
I'm not sure. I'll give you an example, and I think it'll hit everybody, but not everybody's in the same way. I have too many friends right now that are out of work. They're trying to, and you know, they're still on the hunt. They're applying hundreds of times. That's everybody knows this now, right? Like LinkedIn, you gotta apply hundreds and hundreds of times before you get like, you know, the 3 phone calls to get you 2 interviews or whatever, right? There's
right.
But I think to me that is, you know. And I'm talking about applying jobs. This could be anything. It could be the same team conversation. It could be keeping up appearances. And that's what it gets to, is I feel like being resilient is leaning into the truth of the matter, of the situation, of the time, right? Mm-hmm. And not saying shifting, like you're saying, shifting or assigning blame, because that doesn't matter. Once you're burned out, who cares?
Right.
Right? Because this is almost like any other big event, like a divorce of you're divorced. Like if you got to talk about it. But the fact is you're in the middle of this moment. There's only one way out. You can't back your way out of burnout. You can't go try to fix the things or solve the problems, whatever it is that got you to there. You have to walk through it. You got to crawl through it. And I feel like that's the big line right there. Being in denial means you just keep on keeping on, keep on
right.
applying to like the hundreds you just of jobs. Numb
it out and you perform.
Right? Yes, that's right there. Yep.
Well, why do you think it's so hard to say I'm not okay at work? And I have a follow up to that, but just in general.
Because it's, well, one, it's huge vulnerability.
Yeah.
Right. And in my experience, part of the problem with being willingly vulnerable is it freaks people out, because either they can't do that. They either don't feel they can, or they're scared to,
right?
Because of the perceived consequences of doing that. Right. And so even if you're comfortable in your own skin and you're able to, and I have to recognize, you know, some people aren't, it changes things. People look at you differently. They treat you different. That there's just so many consequences, both perceived and real.
Yeah.
About
feeling or seeing less than, being less than, or you're not pulling your weight, right?
Or you're weird.
Right.
Right. Like there's,
yeah, you're weird.
You're definitely weird. You're like, all of a sudden you're socially, you're not acceptable in the work, you know, workplace socially, you know,
in some ways, don't you think that in some businesses and some teams, it's almost like we've replaced emotional presence with productivity metrics. It's like we're caring less about the humans and more about what the humans do.
Oh yeah.
And that's just really being reinforced so much by, you know, what's happening in the world right now.
Well, it's because
there's no focus on people.
Yeah. And I think that's a drive towards the, you know, productivity is it can be measured. Mm-hmm. And I do think, as there's an emotional intelligence deficit in the workplace, mm-hmm. right? And so you have leaders who they're not necessarily human centered, they're not empathy led, and so you know, you default on what you can see, and productivity is what to some degree everybody can see,
right?
But it's like the spectrum where there's a lot of things, just like, you know, our human eyesight, there's things we can't see, but that physically are happening. Same thing with this, is there's a human-centered, you know, part of the spectrum that's there, but our you know, so many people can't see it, so it's not part of our workplace.
Which really brings me to my follow-up, which is, you know, why is it so hard to say I'm not okay in a remote or hybrid setting? And I think you're kind of nailing it, right? It's like, if you're not there, I don't see this, right? Like, there's no human connection online, right? So if I'm in person and saying I'm not okay, or I might not even have to say it because people will see it. They'll yeah. notice it physically. They'll mm-hmm. see how I'm behaving, or how I'm like showing up in the office or not, right? Or if I have headphones on all day. Like, you when you're in an office, you can very easily catch the tone or the vibe of what's happening with someone or with a group of people. It's very hard to do that online. So it's very easy for us also to turn off our cameras, mute our microphones, sit in silence, and then that vulnerability just goes out the window.
Well, yeah. And so on that note, I mean, that's a sure sign that people are you know, like, something's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Is number one, if the camera goes off, you know, for sure, if the mic is never on. Mm-hmm. I've worked with so many remote teams, and there's been a couple where that was just socially acceptable behavior. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, it shouldn't be, not because of the need for performative, you know, work theater, but more so that you can see if people are feeling different. You know,
right. Right.
And not just I'm burned out. It could be I'm pissed off. Right.
Right.
Like
right.
There's a range of emotions that
yeah.
you shouldn't be able to escape just because you work remote or hybrid. But what I had another story, because you talk about how it's hard to do this in remote. At Ford Motor Company, when a certain CEO took over, he gave all of the presidents, the company presidents, cards with red on one side, green on the other. And the expectation was, is when they had a board meeting or some big meeting, that they would bring the cards in and you had to put on the table in front of you, flip it red, I don't need help, green, I need help. And that was how the meeting started, is everybody, you know, kind of indicated, do they need help? And it was the norm of, like, taboo if you needed help. You know, you should never signal green. And the one guy who ran the entire Ford F-150 business, their truck business, he was the first. People came in and he had his card flipped green. He said he needed help. And so they addressed it immediately, what he needed help with. And they went into a different mode. The CEO did admonish him, right? Immediately took the taboo away and said, okay, let's talk. It's all about what do we need to help you with? That guy, the guy who expressed his vulnerability, the guy who used the system for that, he eventually became CEO of Ford Motor Company. And so I think about, like, these indicators of, like, the camera on and whatnot. And I know this is kind of taken on a tangent, but I think that there are ways to build this psychological safety, to build this ability to indicate, I'm not feeling it today.
Yeah, there definitely are. It's just that leaders need to care about
it. Yeah.
You need to work in an organization that actually supports that. And I don't know. So let me kind of, like, guide this into the next question.
Sure.
Because we are at a time where the things that organizations said they valued about their employees are now being cut. I'm talking about DEI. I'm talking about all of those kind of programs, and I'm sure wellness programs and all of those things are going to start being cut.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a time where politics are so dirty and creating so much unrest that I'm wondering if we're mislabeling an actual cultural crisis as a workplace problem. Like, to me, like, what I'm feeling isn't isn't about my job. I love my work. It's just that there is no effing work, right? I love the work that I do at ICS, and that's sustaining me and that's got me going. But it's the stuff outside of the work that's burning me out. And I feel like this cultural crisis is like affecting our industry. It's not just affecting my day-to-day as an individual of like, you know, listening to the news and getting worked up and, you know, then that putting me in a bad mood. I feel like it's impacting others in that same way. So we're all showing up in this kind of like less than better version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's creating something bigger. I don't know what it is, but it's, yeah. What do you think? I'm kind of rambling. I'm sorry.
No. This is where I go back to my opening. You know, what's top of mind, and it's the solidarity, because you mentioned like the look, as far as I know, everybody's doing work. It's just, what kind of work are you doing? Are you putting in the time to actually apply to hundreds of jobs? Mm-hmm. Change your resume for your portfolio, your whatever, your artifacts, your work stories, your website, your LinkedIn profile, or are you actually, you know, in a job where you're getting a paycheck? And what's interesting to me is that the burnout isn't on one side. You know, we've been through a couple different dips in the industry and the economy. And it's typically the people that, you know, are on the outside are the ones that are deflated, you know, probably faster, easier, deeper than the ones who are left behind. In this case, I think everybody's fried. And on one hand, I'm sure there's a lot of performative work being done on both sides of the going back to your fine line between being resilient and being in denial. Mm-hmm. But I think from what I see, there's no escaping this. Like the people that have leaned into it, accepted what it is. I'm writing a piece on this right now. It doesn't feel like it, but those are the pioneers, because it just seems like there's so much change going on right now. So much of just becoming, you know, primordial goo for whatever comes next, that even the people that are in jobs now, right? It's coming for them as well in some form.
They're also freaking out. Yeah. Everybody's freaking out.
It may not be unemployment, but it's the fear of unemployment, right? It's the, man, I did a good job today, but knowing that that doesn't help me tomorrow. Like I can be at the top, and I've worked in a very, very, very toxic culture that was for 2 years. That was that nonstop. You didn't know if you're going to have a job one quarter to the next. And there's, like I said, there's no walking back into normal.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this then. What's helping you get through right now? And as a follow-up, what's making it harder?
Hmm. For me, what's helping is actually doing what I can do, which is write about this, but write about it in a way that's connecting with people. You know, so that's a gift for me right now, because I'm able to do that and it's happening. Which means, you know, I look at that as the time I put into it is out there just helping people get through this, walk through it, crawl through it, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think the other is leaning into learning something new. So, you know, I hate to bring up this topic in this conversation, but AI is inevitable. unless you're going to go fight fires or start a restaurant or, you know, insert kind of manual labor here, that's just it's just going to be there. Like there's no, and you can not feel great about it. You can be pissed about it all you want. But the fact is, if you still want to be in this kind of work, you know, cross industries, white collar work in particular, but even blue collar work, now would be the time to put your anger, angst, fears aside and start learning some things new. And that's what's helping me. What's not helping is just, you know, the emotional up and down. There's good weeks. You know, I think those weeks are when I'm making things. And then there's the weeks where you're tired from having made a bunch of things. And when I stop moving mentally is when the the dread or the anxiety, you know, starts to creep in. And that just, that takes, as you know, that was us this week. That takes days to recover from.
Yep.
If you're lucky.
Well, I really appreciate this conversation. I hope our listeners do too. We're definitely going to start to talk about this more and actually provide more solutions. I feel like we're still in the, like, let's get it out phase and where are we and how are we going to mobilize? But there will be mobilization very soon.
Yeah.
So let's end it there. Let's move into the ask.
Yeah. So this week, we're, you know, once again, promoting come and join us in May, early May, May 7th, from 12:30 to 1 o'clock Eastern time for the huddle. We're going to meet for 30 minutes. Brett and I will catch everybody up on what it is we've been talking about, writing about, making, and then we'll get into an open conversation. Our initial or inaugural huddle was earlier this month. We had a good time, and I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes, and I can't help but to think we're going to talk about this topic in particular in a couple weeks. So to sameteampartners.com. There's a link there on the homepage, or go to sameteampartners.com/the-huddle, and you'll find the link to register for free.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, let's get into the hit list. What are you listening to, watching, reading, etc.?
Yeah, I'm listening to a new soundtrack by Bonobo for the anime, new anime on Adult Swim called Lazarus. So I'm going to do like a twofer here. I'm both listening to the soundtrack, because if you're a Bonobo fan, regardless of what the show's about, it's just a great chill soundtrack to be listening to right now. And I'm also happen to be watching the new anime that was produced by the same guys that made Cowboy Bebop. So for all those nerds out there listening, everybody's heard about it if you're in that space. But it's good. I'm glad it's there.
Cool. I have no idea about any of those things. I'll have to click on those links soon. My first is listening, and it's just one song. I don't know if you're aware of the band Pulp. They were like a 90s Britpop band. Mm-mm. They have a new single out and they have an album coming out. So that's kind of exciting. It's called Spike Island.
So wait, if it's 90s, because you and I talk about 90s music a lot, Where does this land on? Is it a continuation of their 90s music, or is this like something new?
It feels like a continuation. Yeah. They've put out music since then, but like not a ton. Yeah, it sounds like their old stuff, which is fun.
Like, do you remember when Garbage put out an album in 2016? And it was like, Oh my God, I'm right back in the 90s.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, this is similar to that. You know, they have a specific sound.
Got it. Okay.
Which I love. Yeah.
Awesome. My next one is, I've another article that has been popular is Kindness Feels Radical. And talks about how, from my perspective, In the time between the iPhone and the pandemic, we've lost the ability to express kindness. We've lost the currency of human kindness. And so that's not just a rant. There's some real feelings in there, and just kind of how do we get that back?
Yeah, I love that one. My next step is actually something I wrote too, and it's called Burnout, But Make It Existential. It's really just like me blabbering on about like what are the things on my mind and like why am I burnout, like what am I burnout by. Mm-hmm. It's just me kind of thinking through that a little bit. So yeah, I have a few.
Awesome.
So I also have another one here that I'm reading, and it's called Harriet Tubman Live in Concert. It's a novel, and it's by Bob the Drag Queen. I'm not sure if you're aware who Bob the Drag Queen is, but
no.
She was a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race. And so this is a novel about a point in time where all of these like people from history, like famous people from history, just kind of return to Earth. And this guy meets Harriet Tubman, and Harriet Tubman has a backing band, and she wants to make an album. So yeah, it's pretty fun. Like he's hilarious. He's really funny. So as any drag queen usually is, but
I will check that out.
That's pretty good. Yeah, you should check it out. And then the last one I had is I'm watching Adolescence on Netflix. I'm not sure if you've started that one yet. It's only 4 episodes.
I know. I'm waiting because we have to get through Severance first.
Okay. Yeah.
Severance.
It's good. It's every episode is filmed in one shot, which is really amazing and cool.
That's crazy.
And it's kind of like a, you know, the Brits make really good murder mysteries. So it's kind of that kind of series. So
yeah,
that's a good one. Definitely recommend.
Awesome. Well, let's get into the high five and close out this episode. What are we high-fiving this week?
We're high-fiving not hiding. And the fact that we can recognize that we're lucky that we can talk about this stuff publicly and try to connect with people in this way. 'Cause why not? We recognize that not everyone can do that, right? That we're putting ourselves out there in a way, but we know that others don't feel comfortable doing that, or they cannot do that due to the circumstances.
Yep. We see you. So, high five. All right. Well, have a good weekend. Jinx.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Beth and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.